When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native tongue? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified.
Friends, can I say how wonderful it feels for me to be amongst you today. One of the great joys of my role as Archdeacon is the opportunity that I have to visit different churches and spend time with brothers and sisters worshiping God. So it's really a great pleasure for me to be amongst you, especially today, this special day, Pentecost Sunday. Now, I want us to think about a couple of things. We all know about DNA, yeah? DNA, yeah? Now, when a baby is born, they have all their DNA in place, don't they? And as they grow, the elements of that DNA, I believe DNA determines things like how people look and so many other things about them. Those things that are in their DNA manifest as they grow older. Is that not what happened? What happens, yeah? When a baby is born, can I ask, does the baby have their DNA fully intact? Do they? Anyone? Yes, yes, that's my understanding. My understanding is that when a baby is born, they have all their DNA, and what's basically happening is that as they are growing, that DNA is manifesting and sort of bringing out a lot of their physical characteristics. I want to give you yet another example. Many of you have heard the word blueprint used. Yeah, blueprint. I checked where that word comes from, and it turns out that it comes from sometime in the 1800s, somebody discovered a way of printing which involves just making one copy of something, usually in a paper that is blue, and that paper that is blue can be used to create many more of whatever is on it. So all you have to do is get this blue paper, print something on it, and you can use that blue paper to make many, many copies of the same thing. And that's where the expression blueprint comes from. I didn't know that. But it's the sense in which you can use one thing to reproduce so many other things. Or also a sense that a baby that is born carries their DNA, and as they grow older, it just continues to manifest. And I share these two things with you because today, of course, is what we call the day of Pentecost, Pentecost Sunday. And what happened on Pentecost Sunday, as we were just hearing from our Bible passage, was that the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit came and essentially energized the disciples. And what happened on that day, like the disciples going out and preaching and all the rest, has made that day to be called the birthday of the church. It's like the day the church was born. And this day is really important. One of the ways in which I think of today is, if you think about Jesus, we believe Jesus was always with God, but Christmas Day was the day Jesus came on earth, was born in physical form. That's a bit like that with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was always with God. But the day of Pentecost, if you like, it's like the Christmas day for the Holy Spirit. It was the day that the Holy Spirit came in physical form and actually became part of the life of the Christians. And it was on that day that the church was born. And the reason why I talked about DNA is that we can actually go back to that day and see all the things that happened on that day. And we can say to ourselves, everything to do with the church is contained in that day. We can see the DNA of the church around the world and for all time. We can see the DNA of the church on that day of Pentecost, what happened on that day. Or we can put it in another way. We can look at what happened on that day of Pentecost, which was read to us in that Acts reading. We can look at it and say, that's really the blueprint of what every church should be like. Every church in the world and every church for all time, including Good Shepherd Church. So, this is where I need your help. And I need your help in us going back to think about what happened on that day, to see what are the things that it would be good for us to see in our church. Yeah? Now, do people remember the reading? That was the first reading that was read to us. It talked about how the Holy Spirit came and how the Holy Spirit rested on the disciples and looked like tongues of fire, and how they went out and started speaking to people, and they spoke in different tongues so that people could understand them. It also said some people were doubting and said they were drunk with wine, and Peter went out and said, no, that's not true. And actually, from the preaching that happened on that day, many people came to believe in Jesus. It says something like, I think over 3,000 came to believe in Jesus. So, I want us to think about what can we hear or see from that day that it will be good for us to see today in our church. Anyone? I wanted the children in particular to be able to hear this reading, because even the children can also help us. What can we see on that day that it will be good for us to see in our church today? Anyone? Yes. being able to speak what you believe. Right, exactly. Because when the Holy Spirit came, they were able to go out and speak. Thank you. Anybody else? What can you see on that day? What can you see on that day? There's a hand. Is that it? You want to say something? Yeah. Okay. Yes. Sorry? Yes, people from different origins. He talked about people who came from different parts of the world who had gathered. And the interesting thing was that when the people spoke, they spoke in a language that everybody could understand. So the person there said diversity. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does is break down boundaries to help us to see that we are truly one where God is concerned. So diversity, that's a good one. Anybody else? What can you see? Yes. Yes, yes. I mean, that's kind of part of diversity, but there was no mention of any kind of distinction between men and women or any sense that men were being prioritized over women. There was equality. It's probably the word I can... Yes, equality between genders. That's one of the things we can see on that day. Anybody else? What else can we see on that day? What else can we see happening? Yes. Love, right. Do you want to say a bit more? Yes. Yes. There was absolutely love. And the funny thing about it is that it's the most difficult thing to see. But it was there. But you have to look a little bit hard. When Jesus was leaving his disciples, he said to them, I want you to love each other the way I have loved you. And he said, it is the way you love each other that other people would know that you are my disciples. And what Jesus was pointing out there is that the kind of love that exists among his disciples is different. And we see that love playing itself out, not only on that day, but in the days and months and years that followed. I will take one more. Anybody else? Anybody else? When it is... Sorry? Acceptance, yes. Say a little bit more. Yes. Absolutely. There was that sense that everybody was accepted. Everybody was accepted. And it was the Spirit that enabled that to happen. The Spirit did not prioritize one group over another or one language over another. What the Spirit did was to make them to accept each other by being able to speak in the language that people were able to understand. I will just share with you some of the other things that I saw, and I recognize that I had time to look at this, and I'm sure if you had a bit more time, you would find quite a number of things yourself. I saw the fact that what was happening on that day was a kind of a fulfillment of promise, in the sense that Jesus had told them that when he leaves, he will send the Holy Spirit. And he did send the Holy Spirit. The coming of the Holy Spirit was a fulfillment of a promise that Jesus had made to them. It was also a fulfillment of a promise that God had made to the people, which was what Peter was referring to. Peter talked about how Joel had said that in the last days, that people will prophesy and see visions and dreams. So we see there the fulfillment of promise. We also see the miraculous. It said that tongues of fire, something that looked like tongues of fire, this was the only way they could describe it. Something that looked like tongues of fire came and rested on them. That was miraculous. And it also said that they spoke in different tongues. They hadn't learned these languages. That was also miraculous. There is also something there about the courage that Peter showed. You must remember that after Jesus died, the disciples were hiding away because they were afraid of the Jews and what they might do to them. But when the Holy Spirit came, all that fear was gone. And here were the disciples out on the street preaching to people. They no longer cared about their personal safety. They focused on what it was that God wanted them to do. And what about that idea of actually going to speak to people? That's kind of what we call witnessing. They were going and speaking about what they had witnessed, which is partly the life they spent with Jesus, but also the coming of the Holy Spirit on that day. The passage itself began by saying that they were in the room together. So there you have the idea of fellowship. And it wasn't just then, it carried on. They continued to spend time together, valuing the time they spent together. And the final thing I have here, which you have already mentioned, is breaking down boundaries. When the Holy Spirit comes, the Spirit breaks down boundaries. And sisters and brothers, wouldn't it be wonderful if we see the signs of this today? And we should, because we have already said that what happened on that day is the blueprint of what the church should be like. That was the day the church was born. And every church that has come out since then carries that same DNA. Every church, including the Good Shepherd, this church here, should be a place where boundaries are broken. Boundaries of culture, of ethnicity, of gender, of class, of wealth, all those boundaries should be broken in every church because we carry the DNA of that first day. Every church should glory in being a fellowship, a place where people come to be nourished because that's what we saw on that first day. Every church should be a place where people, after they are nourished, go out to speak about Jesus, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, just like Peter and the other apostles did on that day. Every church should be a place where people show courage, courage to stand up and speak. Just like they did. I talked about how they were sort of hiding away. But when the Holy Spirit came, the Holy Spirit gave them boldness to come out and preach on the street because the Holy Spirit gave them courage. And every church should be a place where people get courage to speak about God and to speak about the things of God. Now, that courage might show itself in different ways. It may not simply be by speaking about the gospel. It could be by standing up for the poor. It could be about taking a stand in your workplace or taking a stand in your family or amongst your friends. But the key thing is allowing the Holy Spirit to give you that courage to speak up at the right time. And it comes from kind of putting away, disregarding our personal safety, just like Peter and the disciples disregarded their personal safety and focused on what God would like to see. That's the kind of courage the Spirit gives. Every church should be a place where we can expect the miraculous. Yes, because we saw the miraculous on the birthday of the church. The church that we carry its DNA. We saw the miraculous. So when we gather together, we can expect the miraculous, and we do see it. And every church should be a place where we experience God's promise. Whenever we gather together to worship like this, it should be at the back of our mind that actually our gathering is a fulfillment of God's promise. Just as it was a promise that made that first gathering happen, in Acts, it is God's promise that we should always be able to gather, and we should always be thankful for that. The last thing that I want to say is, of course, all of this are not things that we can be doing or expecting by ourselves. These are things that we can expect, bearing in mind that the Spirit is journeying with us. You see, that's Holy Spirit that came to the disciples, that did all that to them. That same Spirit is here with us and is present every time we gather. And indeed, it lives in our hearts for all who accept Jesus. We have the promise that the Spirit lives within them. So we can always go out bearing in mind what God did on that first day and expecting and praying that those things will be manifesting in our midst. And with the presence of the Spirit, we can hold on to that hope and to God's promise that that would be the case.